Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Lisa Becton, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Becton.
Thanks for having me.
As part of its May e-newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly domestic and global swine disease monitoring reports. What were the highlights domestically?
PED experienced an increase in case positivity in April that was above the expected range, but overall they are continuing to see a decrease following the March decrease. For porcine Delta coronavirus, there is an increasing trend of case positivity that's been occurring since October of 25. Weaned to harvest is down from March. However, sows are continuing to see an increase in the overall case positivity, which is greater than expected. For PERS, there is also an increasing trend, with weaned to harvest case positivity increased to 42% in April, which is the highest in April in more than a decade. For influenza, there is an increased overall case positivity for the month of April, with weaned to harvest increased to 43%, but sows have declined since February.
And is there anything to add on the domestic report?
Well, when we continue to look at the disease challenges that we have, and a lot are above expected, it is important to really continue to monitor the diseases as we get into warmer weather and to take advantage of some of the ability of the sun to kill pathogens when you're looking at potential cleaning, disinfection, or sanitation options. But just always to be aware that even though we may expect diseases to drop in warmer weather, they don't always follow that pattern, and it's very important to continue vigilance in monitoring and biosecurity to prevent these diseases.
What were the highlights globally?
Foot and mouth disease virus, the SAT1 serotype, remains active in the Middle East. There are three pig farms that were identified as positive in Cyprus, also as positive farms in Greece. African swine fever has been identified in Spain and Barcelona in wild boar populations, which hasn't been seen before. In the Saxony region of Germany, there's also wild boar that have been identified as positive following being disease-free.
With regards to increases in both foot and mouth disease and African swine fever, how surprising, how concerning are those developments, and what are the factors?
As always, when we monitor for global diseases, it really does become concerning, and it requires monitoring when we see a virus spread outside of its expected area, or we see it across more species groups. And that has happened with foot and mouth disease. And so it continues to warrant monitoring to see if we can learn why the disease is spread and maybe some of the differences for risks for transmission. Same thing for African swine fever. It's always important to note what species are infected and what population. For example, the feral boar versus commercial swine. And there are some differences. But all of this is important as we continue to assess what can we do as producers in the U.S. to try to reduce transmission. A lot of that is being aware of what's out there, but then also know if there's any travel overseas during the summer months to maintain biosecurity, and things like not wearing the same clothing and footwear you wore overseas back into your farm, and have downtime from overseas travel back into your farm as well.
The May Global Swine Disease Monitoring Report also contains a link to an anonymous survey being conducted by the Global Swine Disease Monitoring Team at the University of Minnesota in collaboration with the Swine Health Information Center to assess the use and value of the Global Swine Health Monitoring Report. What is the history of the Global Swine Health Monitoring Report? What information is tracked and reported? And how is it distributed?
The Global Health Monitoring Report was developed in 2017 with the goal to provide a resource on the status of globally identifiable diseases. And this helps to identify not just the disease, but the species, and also provide some insight into some activities that are surrounding some of those disease identifications. And it was developed and distributed monthly in the SCHIC newsletter. That way, all can really track and monitor what's happening globally.
What prompted the survey and what are the objectives of the exercise?
The survey really is intended to how readers and users are looking at the report and using that information, and to identify are there additional topics that could be included that would be of value, but also to see do the results help identify emerging disease and transboundary diseases. So, more of a continuous improvement process to look at the reports and see how they're utilized and improve the delivery and the content.
What questions are being asked? How long is the survey expected to actually take? And who's expected to participate?
This survey is open to the public and any of the users that use the report, but it takes about 15 minutes to complete. And a lot of information is collected, such as basic demographics of a person, of their operation, and then also how do they utilize the reports, what value do they see, and what other things that could be added to continue to increase the value that these reports provide.
Who actually will have access to the information gathered, and how will that information be used, and to what ends?
The University of Minnesota staff that run the project will have access to this information and take it into account as they look at their existing programs. That information, as an aggregate in an anonymous form, can be shared with SCHIC, again, with the purpose of really trying to improve upon the reports that we have and continue to make them valuable to readers.
Why is this type of direct stakeholder involvement considered important?
This is important for stakeholders because we're doing this to help improve swine health and mitigate any emerging disease across the system. So we really want to have people that we're targeting, producers, other industry stakeholders, to really have input and feel like they can contribute to how these programs are developed and continued and the information that they'd like to receive.
How can anyone interested access SCHIC's domestic or global swine health monitoring reports or participate in the University of Minnesota survey?
All this information is available in the SCHIC May newsletter.
And is there anything that you would like to add?
You can find this information and archive reports at swinehealth.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Lisa Becton, the Associate Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.